And today we're talking about free speech.
Finally, today we can let loose and establish the kinds of things we can say to criticize our government, like the crazy idea that money and speech are the same thing. Not so fast, clone. The Supreme Court has ruled that spending money, at least in the political context, is speech. You do have the right to criticize that decision, though, unless your boss or YouTube says that you can't.
All right, we're trying to talk about free speech. Shut up.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Let's get started and see if we can figure out what the limits of free speech are, assuming that there are some. There aren't. That's a lie. But I'm free to say that. There are two really important things to remember about the First Amendment protection of free speech. The primary reason to have freedom of speech is to allow for public criticism of the stupid government. Stupid government. That's the sort of thing that can land you in jail in countries that don't have strong free speech protections. Or should I say, you would be put in jail. Don't put me in jail. Oh, that's right, I'm in the U.S., it doesn't matter. The stories of oversensitive kings and dictators silencing people who question their rule or even make jokes at their expense are too numerous to recount. But for the most part, that kind of thing doesn't happen in the U.S., which is why no one gets arrested for carrying around a giant picture of Obama as Hitler.
Radical leftist race-hating victimhood proselytizers.
Free speech has to be free. There's not one single element outside of broadcasting, I guess, equipment, a microphone, all the satellite dishes out there, all that stuff that is key to me being able to do my job, right? That's called freedom of speech. It's key to your job of standing up and defending our society today so that freedom isn't lost during our time at the wheel, right? President Reagan warned us, and I paraphrase, but it can be lost in a generation, right? And we got to stay vigilant and awake. I mean, right now, free speech has been under attack for quite a while. Looking forward to the Trump Media Group and their freedom on social media, it's actually kind of kindled my, I send at night, you know what, I don't know how many, some nights more than others, but texts and pictures and funny things and this stuff, you know, it'd be just as easy to post that up on a social media thing, right? So when it gets rolling, I think I'm going to get rolling. Neil Young, though, right, he's the classic rocker. And wasn't he Manny Moe and Jack and Neil or Young? Manny Moe, Jack, and Young? I know. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. I made Agent Squires laugh today. Good. Manny Moe and Jack and Young. Hey. Okay. Neil Young told Spotify, right? And you know he... I don't know if he still drinks or if he ever did, but that's probably a drunken thing. You really? I'm going to tell them. You know, he had his headphones on, those, you know, 1978 DJ golden head. I mean, they were literally like brownish, heavy, looked like a military tank, you know, knock your shoulder over. He's sitting up one night doing his whiskey shots and got a hold of him and said, you can have Joe Rogan or you can have me. Not both. Well, they got back to him, and he's no longer on there. And I... You know, I play a lot of Joe Rogan audio, and it's not that I've been like, I'm not going to listen to this podcast. I just, on downtime, it's just not one of the things I've done. But, you know, I listen to the 12-minute segments to grab the 38 seconds that I need. And so I've listened to him enough to know what he does. And he has the ability to speak freely, and there are people that don't like that, and they'll really come after you once you become a Tucker Carlson or a Sean Hannity or a Rush Limbaugh, or now Joe Rogan's reaching so many with a podcast, right? He doesn't need Fox or CNN or all the big syndicated networks around America, right? He's doing it with Spotify, and I guess they knew what they were doing, because weren't there a lot of people shocked when they're like, Joe Rogan, he got what, $100 million for a podcast? Okay, good. I like capitalism, right? Go, Joe. But now I guess it really seems to pay off. What is he at, like 18 million or 10? I think it's like 10 million at one time. But then it'll be watched over and over and over, like 80 million views for Dr. Robert Malone when he was on there. But freedom of speech is so important, man. That's why it's our First Amendment, right? You can't have freedom of thought unless you have freedom of speech, right? If you're going to get rid of speech, then you're controlling thought. And that's why they're doing, you know, control people, you know. Back to the First Amendment. Let's read it. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You don't always hear that one on there, right? You hear somebody on Bill Maher, you know, one of the guests be like, well, you know, Congress, you can't make a law establishing a religion. The whole audience would clap, right? And then sometimes Bill Maher would go, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You know, they don't like to talk about a lot. Or I continue, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I mean, this, see, that's why people came to America, because there were so many countries that you didn't have any of that. So they got here, they're like, all right, we get a chance to write what a perfect place. All right, you can't say you can be Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian. All right, but if you do want to celebrate that in our country, you can, right? Okay, yeah, we all agree to that, right? And you can say what you want, freedom of speech. The press can say what they want. You can get together, and as long as you don't break windows, and, you know, you can even get angry and shout things out. You can't say, though, I'm going to burn the White House down. No, that's not a good one. But in a few hundred years, Madonna will say it. All right. You got the right to petition the government if you're upset about something, right? So when they left all those countries that are like California now, right, and they fled, and they sailed across eating, you know, rat-infested oats and drinking warm beer and get malaria to get away from, that's pretty bad if you're going to go through that. And to come over here, and this is, they wrote down what would be the perfect place to live, and I agree with that. And if you're going to go after speech and then control the press and not let people gather and lock them down, man, it gets pretty easy to control. So there are people that might not like Tucker Carlson or might not have liked Rush or don't like Joe Rogan, but you got to let him talk. And there's people that I don't like. I don't like Joy Reid on MSNBC, Don Lemon. You know, there's so many of them. Stefan Nuffelagus, all these guys, man. You hear them all, but they got the right to say it. Neil Young has the right to say it. Neil Young has the right to sit there with his big old headphones on and his whiskey sour and shoot that threat off, right? He's got the right to do that. And then, but with freedom of speech, there's also the reason that most people try and control that freedom of speech. They don't, A, probably want to get fired or divorced. You know, we control our freedom of speech or arrested. Yeah, you can. You can. There are things that you can't yell that you're going to kill somebody. You can't yell that I'm going to run up and stab you in your eyeball. You know, you don't have that kind of freedom of speech. Well, in California, would you get arrested for that, I wonder? Well, you would, but you'd be right back out to yell it again in a few hours, probably, right? But freedom of speech is all about it. Spotify said that they will pull Neil Young's music from their platform. And he's urging other people to join him, right? I guess we'll see right here. He's going to be on the wrong side of history. Many will be. Many in the media know this. And that's why they're changing their tune on the truth a little bit, as we've seen, right? And Mr. No Censor himself. And I can actually say I've never personally listened to Howard Stern, because I never lived in a market he was in. Then when he went satellite, I've never had satellite in my car, but I've been in people's car when they've had Howard Stern on, and I've heard him. Here's what I've always thought about him. And if you're successful, you make your money, and people do want to listen to you, and they think you're talented. Yes, okay, that's, again, capitalism. He's become a rich man. But I always said the whole time that it was zero talent to shock the way that he did, right? Look, I said beep, beep on the radio, and the FCC's after me. You know, Who couldn't do that? I always thought that, like, you know, that was kind of zero talent to me. And Stern has always been a creepy milk breath type of dude to me. Milk breath, that's the male version of stinky brawl. Those were words my sister made up to describe creepy males and females. And, yeah, so I've always thought Howard Stern's kind of that way. But he's saying that he doesn't like censorship, but Neil Young was right to push back against Joe Rogan. The guy that made his whole career, radio career, TV on, what was that? He had that show on cable in the 90s and his movies and now his satellite show and all of this. Was he didn't want to be censored. And here you got a virus coming along and somebody has a different opinion about an experimental vaccine. And Howard Stern is saying that I don't like censorship, but he's got the right to push back. Here's his quote. I'm against any kind of censorship. Really, you know, I really am. I don't like censorship. But when you're talking about life and death, right? Stern, right? Hey, the dude has to have his music taken off and for them to blacklist Joe Rogan. So that is censorship. So you're against any kind of censorship, but you're think he has the right to do what he did. So he's got the right to censor, but you're against it. But you're not against censorship. Yeah, that's what he said. Yep. Sorry there, Howard Stern. You can't twist it up that bad. He said he's become extreme. That's what he said Joe Rogan has become. See how people are trying to shut down people's freedom of speech? Aaron Rodgers. He was attacked. Remember Terry Bradshaw? When I was a kid, I read the Terry Bradshaw book, and I remember that I think as a sophomore, he got cut from his football team or one of those years in high school because he wasn't good enough. And can you imagine that you go on to win Super Bowls and play in the NFL and you weren't good enough in high school? And I thought that was amazing as a kid. So when they were playing the Cowboys, of course, I was for the Cowboys. But if it was, you know, Pittsburgh, New England or some game like that, I'd be like, yeah, I want Bradshaw to win. I always liked him. And in Ridgecrest, my best friend's older cousin played for the Steelers during the Steel Curtain times. He was on defense. I don't remember his name right now. But so that was a connection. So I always kind of like Bradshaw. But when he came out against Aaron Rodgers, and I mean, and just bit his head off on national TV, I thought, man. And you even had Howard Stern saying that unvaccinated Americans should be denied medical treatment. Hey, Howard Stern, I got a guess for you. Fresno Unified School District trustee Eastless. I think that would work, right? They'd get along, wouldn't they? I got a toddler helping out the economy. Joe Biden needs all the help he can, right? It's a funny story, and I got a funny story for a Friday before we get to some not-so-funny topics. We're going to talk with the CEO of Breaking the Chains, Deborah Rush, coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to talking to her. Our subject's going to be human trafficking.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Monday, 3:30 on the show, Fresno County Supervisor Nathan Magsig running for Congress, and he's going to have a big announcement is what we've been told, so he'll be doing that here on the show, 3:30 on Monday, so I'll sit and speculate that all weekend. I see it all the time out at grocery stores and when I used to go to other kind of stores. You know, kids, you know, one-year-old, two-year-olds are in the cart or in a stroller, and they're playing with a cell phone, right? And there was this little kid in New Jersey, 22 months old, using his mom's phone, clicking on things, and ordered $1,700 worth of stuff from Walmart, and it started to show up, and he ordered mostly furniture, so it was like these huge boxes started showing up, and they went back and thought, yeah, it looks legit, what? And they remembered the kid did that. Isn't that cute, right? That's a good story right there. And I think they let him refund. And I think the dad actually quoted into that a couple of the pieces he liked. So they kept it, right? Wouldn't that be a good hand-me-down when he goes off to college? Now, you got to take your table that you ordered when you were 22 months old right here, and you better treat it right and hand it down to your kids. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? Good story to hand down. I'm a grandpa, and I'm going to call Joe Biden a grandpa. And there are endearing ways to call people grandpa. And there are other times somebody's like, no, I don't want to go. Come on, grandpa, get up. This is one of those, come on, grandpa, get with it. If you're going to tell a story. And you know what? It's sad. It's sad. Listen, Joe Biden was sitting down a round table with a bunch of people up in Detroit, right? And he's trying to remember. Remember when he was in that video in that Hummer trying to get going? And he's all, vroom, and he's trying to come up with it here. But I think that we actually need, I'm feeling some of the old DJ days coming back by request.
But when Joe's president. Safe, that's all we need to know.
But I might point out, you're when I went to Dearborn driving that, was up there. I don't know, man. I think the press thought I was crazy. I enjoyed it so much going up and your new EV factory and that Hummer. Before I talked about Dearborn and the F-150, but that Hummer, my Lord, you guys, have you seen this vehicle?
See how long it took him to get to remembering a Hummer, right? Now, he was sitting here, bless his heart, it's his own rule, with around this round table with one of the thickest, blackest mouth covering. He's 78, and, for the travel that he does, I mean, both Trump, Hillary, Biden in their 70s out there. I mean, when I just got to take it, if I'm like, what, I got to change a plane? I'm going to be so worn out when I get there. And they got 20 years or so on me here, and I can't imagine the travel that they keep up. So I applaud that they're sitting around a meeting and doing it. But this isn't the Red Cross of his county, and he's giving his time or working somewhere in a company or so. He's running the country. And listen, he can't breathe.
I'd like to, what can you tell me about what the investments will make in this legislation?
Come on, Joe. Come on.
As a son of a man who ran the last 35 years of his life, a Ford dealership and then a Chevy dealership, you're going to make a lot of difference in people being able to make a living again. I mean, it really, really, really does matter. I mean, it's consequential, and I, at any rate, I thank you for being here and what you have to say now.
What's he talking about? Are they going to report on this? Guys, this is becoming way too obvious here, right? Kamala's not going to go to the Supreme Court. She's sitting there going, and she gets to see the behind the scenes stuff, right? They don't report on the truth. They'd rather report on stuff like this, right? And I found this just to be fascinating. So I spent a few minutes and put this little thing together.
If Trump doesn't run in 2024, right now there are two favorites to win the GOP nomination, according to the poll: Ron DeSantis and his son Don Jr. I love that. Don Jr. couldn't run a Dunkin' Donuts. On the first day, Don Jr., he'd snort all the powdered sugar and get his head stuck in the macchiato machine. He's going to be the president.
Vice President Joe Biden's son was discharged from the Navy back in February after sources say he tested positive for cocaine.
We've all got a crackhead in our family, and Hunter Biden is that one in the Biden family.
She's the CEO of Breaking the Chains, human trafficking. Also, we'll talk about domestic violence. Been a lot of that in the headlines just recently as well. Her name is Deborah Rush, and she's going to be on the show next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Like to welcome back to the show, and going to start out with apologizing that it's been so long. Deborah Rush, CEO, Breaking the Chains. Deborah, happy 2022 to you.
Happy 2022, Trevor. It's good to be back.
It is. I wish we had some rain here in the valley, but I went home and I changed into shorts today. Good weather, isn't it?
Yes, that's exactly how I felt. I think it was on Tuesday.
Yeah, and there's people freezing. I just heard a Fox News thing there at the top of the hour about this cold weather. They're talking about, like, in Cape Cod, a foot of snow. We got it good this time of the year, and let's enjoy this beautiful weather. And that means a lot of people can be running around with no icy roads and open borders and trafficking humans. And, Deborah, it's such a sensitive subject to talk about. And I always ask you, and you can just share your story and what Breaking the Chains is, and then let's get into some of the issues at hand. Breaking the Chains, tell everybody what it is.
Breaking the Chains, we're a charitable 501c3 organization here in the Central San Joaquin Valley, and essentially we're the boots on the ground with law enforcement. We provide a majority of the comprehensive care services, direct services, housing support, pretty much complete wraparound to all victims impacted by, or all individuals impacted by human trafficking. So we not only serve children and adults, male and female, we also have a really great support system set up for the care providers and family members. And we are really excited because we also have some plans on the table to be partnering up and moving in out at City Center with the mission. So a lot of good things going on.
So you're going to have professional office digs, really? Like, you know, some that's good because work environment gets people up and going. That's really good to hear that you're getting support like that. And you know why people are supporting you? I don't have to tell you, but I'll tell everybody why. Because she's getting results. And I'm sure, Deborah, sometimes it probably feels like, you know, you save one individual and there's a hundred more. So it's never completed, is it? It's just an ongoing. I don't know how you keep doing this, but we know what has happened here in this valley. And so people understand how really deep this goes. If you want to take a second and think about it here, what's the most shocking story that you've come across of, I don't know, is it a 12-year-old? Is it younger than that? Is it, you know, what didn't let you sleep that night?
Oh, you're absolutely right. There's so many of those that still keep me up at night. But definitely, by far, it's the individuals that come to us that prior to ever having any type of law enforcement contact, to know how many of them were involved in child pornography rings. And then I would say there's two stories that kind of sideline. Is one was done at the hands of a Southwest Fresno gang. And this happened about 4 years ago. And I know Dyer has shared about it. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And they had a young girl out on Blackstone, and she had an infant. And in order to keep this girl hostage and enslaved out there, the gang member actually drove by on Blackstone Avenue with the toddler, held the toddler out of the car while it was moving at by its feet, just to show the mom, this is what's going to happen if you don't get money and get back in here. So, I mean, that's right here in the face of what we do. But the stories go on and on. Missing teeth, you know, obviously some of the most tragic situations come through our front door. And the saddest part is that a lot of these vulnerabilities were present long before we're ever able to interact with them. And then I would say some of the most shocking, I would say statistics, is what people don't realize here, Trevor, is that, so human trafficking is the number two criminal enterprise nationally, but it's also number two here in Fresno. And so these things that are happening here in Fresno are highly fueling a lot of the violence we're seeing. You know, when with Operation Dog Track that was done with federal authorities and the Fresno Police Department, one of the things that they found was that a majority of the murders and violent crimes were being, you know, the guns they were using and those type of things and the murder for hires were being funded off the backs of kids. I mean, of women and children. That's insane. So what people need to realize is this just isn't a situation that can happen to any one of our children. This is a situation where no matter where you stand on the spectrum, if you're worried about your kid, your friend, your neighbor, or just anybody getting trafficked, it's bigger than that. This actually funds murders, violent crime. The thread that goes through this is pretty deep. And if we can really unlace it and pull it out, there's such a huge impact we're going to see in violent crime throughout the whole city just begin to decrease.
You know, Deborah, you just described, you know, what the mob did for at least, you know, over 100 years. You know, they were involved in everything and always prostitution as well. And human trafficking, prostitution. You mentioned child porn ring that was busted. Is that the kind of thing like it's a job and they go home and do they get paid or are they locked in there to do this? What's that? A child porn ring?
So what we see with a lot of our child pornography circles or rings is this is child pornography. I mean, at the youngest of ages, and it's happening. A lot of it, believe it or not, is relational and familial when it comes to young children. So without going into a two-hour training, it's best explained like this. Trafficking is very complex. There's a lot of different forms of trafficking, sex and labor. But when you start looking at regions and ages especially, you kind of see a little bit of a change. So when you're talking child pedophile rings or child pornography rings, you're looking at kids from 0 to, you know, 10, 12 years old. And those children are most often trafficked in that manner. So there's a family member or somebody else that has direct access to that child that is filming inappropriate activities and don't even want to go down that road. And then with the internet, and especially the dark web, airing it. And they have places, they have different websites. I don't like to give the website names out because I don't want to, you know, key into any pedophile out there. It's like, I didn't know about that one. But one that we do know a lot about, which is not a pedophile, which is like, there's sites, again, that I don't personally like to name, that you actually create a membership. So you pay and you're able to view things time and time again. And then depending on what you want, you're even able to communicate with the people on the other side to tell them what you want them to do. So, I mean, there's just this huge perfect storm out there. When we think about the desensitization and the over-sexualization that has happened, not just for our children, but throughout our entire community, you think about how much information is readily accessible to us any time of day in the palm of our hand. And then you think about these gangs who are growing and growing, and they have, just like any business model, they have shifted their focus from a bag of dope that you could sell one time to an individual that's desensitized to violence and desensitized to the things that are happening around them that are stuck in systemic poverty and all these other issues. And it's a no-brainer. It's a multi-billion dollar industry.
I am just sitting here, I don't even know what the word, you know, I want to say disgusted, but it's worse than that. Deborah, are there kids that are in this porn ring, this kid porn, are they kids from in the valley in this pornography that you guys have unearthed?
Oh, absolutely. We see it. I mean, if you remember, you used to remember a year and a half ago, I think it was 2 years ago, year and a half ago. I could have my dates wrong, but we just had the gentleman that had, not a gentleman, why'd I call that monster that? We had the monster that had the baby mama and his girlfriend, and they had that young child in a pornographic situation, essentially just like a ring, you know? So we see those things all right here, and those are just the ones that come to light. I mean, if we really understood how prevalent sexual abuse and even things at this level are, it would blow your mind. I mean, 3 out of 5 people, males and females, have been sexually assaulted on some level.
Say it again, 3 out of 5?
3 out of 5. And again, it's a spectrum. So we're talking anywhere from, you know, not to minimize any type of fondling or anything like that, to something that's more heinous as to what we're looking at. I mean, there is again, this is what we need to get upstream, right? We can talk about the things all day long that are funding this and doing this, but we're talking about, as communities, the level of desensitization that we have allowed in our homes. You know, we have gotten far, far away from understanding what the moral compass is. It's no longer about what do I believe as a Christian or as an atheist or anything else. It's getting down to brass tacks and understand that we are allowing our children to view things that are going deep into their psyche, that are desensitizing them to these types of behaviors, then allowing these monsters to come in and take advantage of that without anybody really understanding the true ramifications. Well, not anybody, people like me and others who are working in this field, without them understanding the true ramifications that this is going to impact on their future. So we see the fentanyl overdoses. I mean, it all holds hands. And the way we really start to make an impact, and then we hit domestic violence, we hit human trafficking, gang, the fentanyl. Whenever we really, honestly start getting back in the kitchen and look at the ingredients we're putting in our meals.
Deborah,
and that's my analogy.
Listen, I want to talk more about the kids and their phones and the computers and tablets and how they're accessed. But I want to go back to something that I just jotted down a few minutes ago. You said zero and up, and I wrote that down. And it, I mean, zero and up. I want to, is that, do you ever see satanic involvement? I mean, that's so demonic. Is it, do you ever see that?
I have definitely met individuals who have talked to us about how their initial abuse started in, you know, mom or dad or
in rituals and whatnot.
Yeah. We actually had a volunteer, God rest her soul, who was older. She was in her 60s. Her story is absolutely verified. She has shared it publicly. Her name's JC Unity. And she was a volunteer who was there helping us with some of the trauma-based clients that we have. And her story actually originated in the mountains, I want to believe, like out of Oregon. And she had a small group of girls that she would work with who had had similar issues. So, I mean, think about this, right? When human trafficking is typically happening between the ages of 12 and 17 years old. That's when we're seeing they're entering into the trafficking that is more prevalent here throughout the valley.
Hey, Deborah, I want to stop you there. 12 to 17, there's a lot of recruiters. If you can hang on, I want to come back, and can we jump into that in the next segment here? All right, Deborah Rush, breaking the chains, human trafficking. They're coming after your kids. You got to know what's going on.
Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
She's the CEO of Breaking the Chains, Deborah Rush. They expose, help, and fight against human trafficking. And Deborah, before the break there, we were talking about that 12 to 17-year-old range. And it's not just, it's mostly girls, right? What's the breakdown male-female with the trafficking? Hello, Deborah. Deborah really took a break, didn't she?
Oh, no.
Oh, Deborah.
I figured it out. Sorry about that.
What
I was going to tell.
Oh, you heard my question then.
I did. Okay. I did hear your question. There you go. I had a kid walk in. I had to answer this. I had it on mute. Sorry.
Hey, that's okay. Dr. Victor Davis Hanson had a dog barking behind him this week on an interview, too. So it's all right. Life's going on behind you.
I appreciate that. So anyways, what we see is that the male to female ratio, really it's showing about 2% of our trafficking victims are male. However, we know that that is disproportionately wrong. We know that men are trafficked, and young boys especially, at a much higher level. It just is much more likely to go underreported.
All right, so at the most, right, 90% female, right? If you just wanted to just kind of just pick a number, then it's majority female, it seems, right?
It does seem as though, yes.
All right, now 12 to 17, parents are hearing this and going, well, it's not going to be my 13-year-old daughter. What do these recruiters do? They're not so obvious, right, that they're being trafficked at the beginning is what I think I recall last time we spoke.
Right, absolutely. And I'll pivot back a little bit, because what we were talking about at the beginning was very deplorable, right? But that's actually a very small percentage of what we see. That is in under 5%. 95% of the trafficking that we see, and it is at a magnitude that is unbelievable, is happening between 12 and 17. Again, go back to that desensitization. Our kids are already groomed just through media. And what's happening is these individuals are getting into their life through, you know, a lot of internet, person to person, and they are building relationships. And as they build these relationships, they are finding out things about them. And something as simple as how a young girl may see herself and her weight or her size. And I don't know about you, but I've never met a 13-year-old who's totally in love with herself, right? That was a mortifying age for me, right? Everything about me was wrong.
That was my best year. That was my best year. It was downhill from there.
Well, and they prey upon that. And then whenever you add in a lot of the vulnerabilities that are just present, right now we have children that are so disconnected from their normal social and emotional interactions, especially with the pandemic, that they are literally hungry for more and more attention. Again, you have to come to one of our trainings. So if you guys want to hear more, definitely get a hold of us at Breaking the Chains. But there's so much interesting information. Like if you go on Netflix and you watch The Social Dilemma, one of my favorite documentaries, but it really is eye-opening to talk about how every time there's a like, there is this chemical release that happens within our kids.
Endorphins go off. Endorphins.
Right.
Yeah.
Endorphins. Thank you. And this is happening, and it's almost like a drug release, right? So they're craving this attention at a much higher level and at a much larger prevalence than we've seen even now, 20 years ago.
Deborah, am I remember the documentary where they played the brain up there and they didn't respond to that. Send this. And they play out the characters of what social media does to our brains.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Say the name of that again. Say the name of that again.
Social Dilemma.
Yes. Yes. That was scary. It really was. I can't imagine being a female 12 to 17 in this age of social media. I just can't.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what we're seeing. So we're seeing, like I said, this big shift that has happened because of a lot of the factors. And what parents need to understand is in 2020, 47% of our clients came from median and upper class. We're talking, for all our Fresnans out there, north of Shaw. 47% of our kids. So this is not an issue of, well, as long as I keep my kid out of poverty and I make sure they're hanging out with the right people, everything's going to be okay. No. We're seeing these kids who are involved in band and doing all the right things and then sneaking out when their parents are asleep at 2:00 in the morning to get into some gang member's car to go drink a little lean and be back by 5 a.m.
Well,
and
Sheriff,
after a few times,
Sheriff Mims always says here, parents check their phones, check their tablets, check their computers, because the predators are out there. Deborah, tell parents, anybody out there want to get involved and actually help. Maybe you've been hurt in the past by somebody and you want to heal by giving back and helping. Deborah, where do they go?
Go to btcfresno.org. Simply look up or scroll down to the donate button and you can give there. We're always looking for volunteers. And the last thing I do really want to say too is parents, put BARK on your kid's phone, B-A-R-K, right? If you have a kid, look at that app, find out more about it, and it should be on everybody's device.
A BARK app, B-A-R-K?
B-A-R-K.
And what is that? It barks if something gets on their phone or what?
Well, it's absolutely one of my favorite high security apps.
All right.
And it's really easy.
We'll have them check it out.
And you put it on your phone. Yeah, you put it on your phone, and it's going to monitor all of the information, all the conversations that are coming in and out of it.
BTCFresno.org. And congrats on your new offices there. Thank you, Deborah Rush. We'll talk again soon. Appreciate it. Thank you. Questioned the Valley, and Newsom, Joe Biden is my guy, voters. I don't know, maybe Bernie was your guy, but Joe was the only choice, and you had to go with Newsom, right? Do you like how the money's being spent? Let's go over some, I'm going to be an accountant next, right here.